98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
The stuff we've been talking about here on the Burns and Gambo show, the all stuff. Condensed into one spot.
Yeah, the stuff. That's what we call it. The stuff.
It's called the stuff. That's what we've been talking about here. We call it the 4 o'clock reset, where we cover all the
Red Sox
stuff.
Lost again today?
I did. They
got the Red Sox, the Yankees. Some really good teams in baseball. Paul Goldschmidt struggling.
It's early. A lot of season left to go. Speaking of baseball, that's where we start the 4 o'clock reset with Greg Holland. Andy Green got a little dicey yesterday at Chase Field.
1-0. And that one behind him, and that's ball 2-0. Well, Holland looks toward the San Diego dugout. They're pointing at him. And I think it's Eric Hosmer, his former Kansas City teammate, who's leading the yelling out of the dugout. No warning or anything from Mike Winters.
Every pitch he threw was really good to the last two.
Two pitches behind the back of Mejia, thrown behind him. Andy Green after the game. This was after two Diamondbacks had been thrown at on Saturday. Andy Green, the manager of the Padres after yesterday's game, called the umpires literally clueless.
And umpires being literally clueless on the field right now, that's inexcusable at that point in time. You'd love to be able to make an excuse for him, but there's no excuse right there. The first one, okay, maybe slips. The second one, we know what's going on there. It's not lost on us at all. If it's lost on them, they're not paying attention to the baseball game.
Good for Holland. I'm glad that he did it. I believe in that retaliation. I sent the video to Curt Schilling, and I said, hey, what do you think? He goes, 100% he's trying to hit him. I go, how do you miss? He goes, too low, armpit. It's unmissable. You got to throw at the armpit. So, you know, there is a way to play where pitchers feel really comfortable. They can throw at a guy and hit him.
Yeah.
If they just throw at a certain spot. So.
And Greg Holland just wasn't quite able to get it to that.
Well, the
spot.
Second one was just like, you know, listen, I appreciate him trying to go after him. I get two outs in the inning. Make sure there's not going to be any rally.
Yeah.
And then you go hit the guy, and he missed the first time. It was close. The second time, it wasn't even close.
D-backs avoid the four-game sweep by winning yesterday. They end their four-game losing streak by winning yesterday. They're off today. They open up a 10-game road trip tomorrow against the Atlanta Braves. They will see Tukey Toussaint in Game 3
of that
three-game
series. I heard Bickley and Murata talking about that. That'll be interesting. Toussaint, who they got rid of just to clear salary, right?
Yeah, just to get rid of what's his name's salary?
The former Reds pitcher, long hair. He was a
Bronson Arroyo.
Bronson Arroyo. Yeah.
Yeah, just to get rid of his
Bronson
contract.
Arroyo.
They got rid of Tukey Toussaint. Tiger Woods, his fifth Masters, his 15th major championship, and remarkably in some ways, his first major championship where he did not have the lead after 54 holes.
First one
he's
ever
had
won,
to come, and he was like down two strokes after 11 holes, and he still came back to win.
Well, he was down three to start the day, then he got down. He was down two to start the day, and then he got down three, and then he came back and won.
He called it unreal.
Just unreal. To be honest with you, it's, just the whole tournament has meant so much to me over the years. Coming here in 95 for the first time and be able to play as an amateur, winning in 97, and then come full circle 22 years later, be able to do it again.
All the sports world buzzing about what Tiger Woods was able to do yesterday, no question.
And a lot of people winning a lot of money.
A lot of people winning a lot of money. Well, not a lot of Vegas sports books. They didn't win a lot of money yesterday.
Tiger was a nice little bet, and he ended up winning it. Vegas lost.
News out of the NBA. The Brooklyn Nets are going to be without Jared Dudley tonight. He has been ruled out for Game 2 of the Philadelphia 76ers game. Yep. According to Sham Sharania, he has been ruled out of the game tonight and will not play.
Wow.
Yeah.
Texting him right now. Why are you out?
Calf injury.
He did a great job against
them. He played a critical role for the Nets in Game 1. Critical. And he is not going to be able to play tonight.
He was huge.
According to Sham Sharania. Our sympathies to the family and to all the Phoenix Suns fans out there of the late head coach of the Phoenix
winning
Suns, Sean McLeod.
Winningest coach in their history.
Ring of Honor, winningest coach. The first coach I remember being the Phoenix Suns. Whenever I think of John McLeod, I think of the elbow patches on the blazer. Remember the tweed blazer that he used to wear in the 70s? And they all had those elbow like the different color patches on the elbow. That's what I remember the most about John McLeod. I was just a kid when he was the coach of the Suns, but a member of their Ring of Honor.
I read a story somewhere. It was like that run in what year did they make it to the finals?
76.
So that run in 76 was so much better than the run with Barkley because it was so unexpected. And that's what made it so special. It was just so unexpected.
Yeah, so our sympathies and longtime Suns fans out there mourning the loss of John McLeod.
Let me give you a Jared Dudley update.
Sure.
Calf injury. My agent, coach, and trainers decided it. Got red flag. Took myself out in the fourth quarter. It tightened up. I will be back for game three. I wanted to play bad. So this is just a message I'm getting from him right now, that he took himself out in the fourth quarter because it tightened up. He'll be back for game three. But just they just decided, trainers and everything decided, just to not have him play in this game because they got the first one.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
Top story of the day, though, comes to us from the NFL draft, where people are starting to wonder a little bit about whether Kyler Murray is going to, in fact, be the number one pick. In particular, Daniel Jeremiah, who is longtime NFL scout, he's on NFL Network, he's really good at what he does, tweeted out this morning, and it got all sorts of people buzzing. His confidence meter that Kyler Murray was going to be the first overall pick on April 1st.
I love this. The confidence meter
was at 90%. Mm. He was 90% confident that Kyler Murray was going to go number one
on
April 1st.
Have you ever been that high? Has your confidence level been that high? Hell no.
No, hell no.
Right?
I wouldn't even say
yourself?
No, myself. I mean, it's...
I was going to say.
Oh, Gambo, his confidence
Come
in
on,
himself.
Gambo.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
Gambo's
Sarah's
confidence in himself.
Sarah's moving her hair like, you mean me? Confidence in myself?
I forget it's not a visual medium. No one else can see.
She's doing the hair flip.
Yes. Yeah.
Daniel Jeremiah now says on April 15th, his confidence meter that Kyler Murray will be the first overall pick at only 60%.
The confidence meter's gone down.
He went down from 90 to 60. And the big reason why, he says, he's baffled by all these extra visits that Kyler Murray has taken to Washington, to New York. It does not strike him, as a guy who's been around the game for years and years and years, that those would be necessary visits if he knew that he was going to go number one overall.
Yes.
It wouldn't be necessary to go see the team with the 15th pick or with a 6th pick in the draft. That it wouldn't be. So now he's expressing some doubts. And he's not the only one. You did a Google search about this earlier. There are stories littered all over the internet right
now. Yardbarker, Yahoo, everybody on Kyler Murray. It's like, now the doubts are creeping in. Now it's like... Okay, maybe this isn't going to happen. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not going to happen. What if the Cardinals don't draft Kyler Murray with the number one overall pick by Pro Football Talk? And then it was Cardinals becoming less likely to draft Kyler Murray by Yardbarker. And Cardinals may not be locked in on Kyler Murray is another story. And it's just like it's just starting to blow up a little bit that maybe this isn't going to happen, this Kyler Murray thing to the Cardinals.
Look, all these things that we've been talking about for months, it feels like. It all sounds good in theory. Hey, we're going to take Kyler Murray. We're going to trade Josh Rosen. Hey, we're going to take Kyler Murray and we're going to keep Josh Rosen. It all sounds good in theory, but when it gets time to actually do it, right? When it comes back, okay, here it is. Draft day is coming up in 10 days from right now. What will you do? Suddenly, the idea of executing the plan of taking a quarterback number one overall after just taking one in the top 10 a year ago, it is one of those things that might be easier said than done.
Yeah.
When it's all said and done. That it's in execution, it's great in theory, but in execution, it is a very complicated, we've been using the word historic. It would be historic if the Cardinals took Kyler Murray.
It would be.
You just don't do that on a whim, right?
Yeah. I mean, I remember we've talked about this before, like one of the most historic decisions that any organization's ever had to make with the number one pick. Historic, to where now we've got meters now judging the confidence level meter. We've got judging. I feel like I'm watching the movie Elf when Ed Asner is Santa Claus and he's got the Will Ferrell, you know, as the elf, and they're trying to get that meter up. What was it, the faith meter or something? Or what was the meter in Elf that we're trying to get the?
I think it was the faith meter, wasn't it?
Faith meter. No, I don't think it was faith. Yeah, spirit meter. I think it was the spirit meter. You know, and to try to, I'm actually looking at it. Yeah, to try to find it. Yeah, there it is. A spirit meter, I think it was.
Kudos to you for knowing that Ed Asner played Santa Claus in Elf.
Ed Asner.
Bravo.
Well, do you know
that.
A TV show he was on in the 70s?
Well, of course. He was in Mary Tyler Moore.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Come on, all now.
Right.
Come on.
All right.
Come on.
I just didn't know. I didn't know. I mean, you're
you didn't
a little
know
younger.
That I didn't know.
I come on, man. I know you're I got it. You're the greatest movie buff of all time. I get it. Nobody's better at you than movies. I don't even know if the guy's still alive.
I could tell you what Pixar movie Ed Asner was the voice in.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. The one where the house.
No, just go.
Yeah. You want me to go? Oh, you want me to talk about something else?
No, go. Just give me the
Up. The movie Up.
Oh, it was the movie Up.
Remember where the house, he's got the balloons attached. Ed Asner was the voice of that. Yeah, because I'm a movie nerd.
The Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. We all
don't know what's going to happen.
At some point, I think you hope to
I know they're not
going to
pass on the pick.
No, well, no, but it is... It is interesting if they're starting – take it like this. This is kind of how I look at it. Like, okay, in theory, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take Kyler Murray and we're going to trade Josh Rosen. That sounds great until you find out you're not getting what you think Josh Rosen is worth. Or, okay, we're going to trade the number one pick and keep Josh Rosen. We're going to get a boatload of picks. That sounds great in theory until you realize you're not going to get all the picks that you thought you were going to get, or that the demand for Kyler Murray isn't what you thought it was going to be. Perhaps part of the reason why the Murray confidence meter is starting to go down is that not the Cardinals don't know what they want to do, but that they're finding executing what they want to do harder than they thought. That they're just not getting any
first-round
offers for Rosen. They're just not getting that big package for the number one pick. And they're, okay, what do we do? Do we stick with the plan? Because we're not getting what we thought we were going to get for either Rosen or the pick.
But then who was on saying that they're going to get a first-round pick for Rosen if they give it up?
It was Todd McShay.
Todd McShay talked about getting a first-round pick. I think you probably go through a lot of second-guessing right now if you decide you're going to do that. Do we really want to do this? Do we really want to do this? Do we really want to trade Rosen and take Murray? You probably get to the point, if you do get to the point where you want to take Murray, then you probably second-guess yourself for a week. Do we really want to do this? Is this the right thing to do? Listen, we'll find out after the draft. I think we will. If they stick with Rosen, you're not going to hear anything about the fact that they even flirted with Kyler Murray. You're not. If they stick with Rosen. It was Rosen all along. We were never taking another quarterback. We believe in him. He's our franchise guy. So even if they sat there and they debated it for months as to who they were going to take a quarterback. If they don't take Kyler Murray and stick with Rosen, the only thing you're going to hear is that they love Rosen. They were never going to take another quarterback.
The D-backs were able to prevent being swept yesterday, and in the process, we might have found a new team to not like very much around here, and that's always fun. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
I got it. You're the greatest movie buff of all time. I get it.
Pitch number one from Greg Holland to Francisco Mejia. Almost hit him.
Holland is ready. Mejia batting left-handed. And the first pitch on the way. And it's at his feet, and he has to jump rope to get out of the way. Ball one.
Right about knee-high, way inside.
D-backs had a couple of players hit last night in the ballgame. He really had to get out of the way of that one.
Pitch number two from Greg Holland to Francisco Mejia.
Here's the 1-0. And that one behind him, and that's ball two, 2-0. Well, Holland looks toward the San Diego dugout. They're pointing at him. And I think it's Derek Hosmer, his former Kansas City teammate, who's leading the yelling out of the dugout. No warning or anything from Mike Winters.
Every pitch he threw was really good to the last two.
Yeah. Got those first two guys out, no problem. Two outs in the ninth, four-run lead. Okay, I can hit somebody right now. I appreciate Holland. I mean, just get the job done. I mean, hit the guy. Like, okay, so they hit two of your batters Saturday, plus Machado threw the ball at John Ryan, the bat right by John Ryan Murphy's feet, could have caused an injury.
That was in San Diego about a week and a half ago.
In San Diego. So you got some problems with them. Can we hit him? Like, can you literally hit the guy, throwing behind him and everything? Hit him.
Well, that's the thing. We've talked about this in the past. It feels like that the rule on the Burns and Gambo show is if you're going to hit him, hit him. If you need to take a second chance to hit the guy, you shouldn't. Don't throw at him and miss the second time, right? If you're gonna try to hit the guy, you better hit him on the first pitch because you're gonna look pretty foolish if you go after him the second time.
And that's debatable. I mean, do you only get one shot to do it? I don't know about that. I mean, listen, payback is payback. Whenever I get it, I'm gonna get it. If I take two shots to get payback, I get two shots. Again, I was talking with Kurt Schilling today, and Schill said, listen, there's one spot where you'll always hit the guy 100% of the time, the armpit. He goes, the hitters can't get out of the way because the split second of do I go forward or do I go backward always beats them. And it's the most painful and bruises the best.
It's the most painful and bruises the best.
So, like, I was curious. So I sent Schilling the video today.
Baseball lessons on how to bruise another player from Curt Schilling.
Hey, listen, Schill was the best. I mean, those players back in those days, they stuck up for you. And back in the day, I'll tell you right now, when they had Miguel Batista, Curt Schilling, and Randy Johnson.
Oh, sure.
Nobody wanted to hit a Diamondback batter because they would tell teams, two, for every one you hit, we hit two. And we throw the ball 100 miles an hour. So for every one of the guys, so nobody wanted to hit a Diamondback player because they were scared to death of the, but Schilling said the best place to hit the guy, you aim for the armpit because then they can't get out of the way because they don't know if they should go forward, they don't know if they should go backward, and they split set, they for a split second, they don't know what to do, and then bang, it gets them every time.
But I do know we have talked about in the past, and if the roles were reversed, and the Padres were seeking retaliation against the Diamondbacks, and they threw at a Diamondback hitter and missed him twice, I would feel like we would feel like, hey, come on, man, you get one shot at it. Either you're going to hit him or you're not. And if you missed him on the first one, don't go trying to do it again because you weren't good enough to hit the guy on the first time you were trying to hit him. If the roles were reversed, I know we have talked about this before.
Yes.
When we've been at the other end of it, when the Diamondbacks have been at the other end of it, and they're getting thrown at deliberately, if you can't get him on the first try, you don't get a second. You either hit him or you don't. Don't go throwing at him again because you were bad enough to miss him the first time around.
I know you agree with that, right?
I do agree with
that. That's fair. I mean,
I do agree with that.
That's an opinion thing. To me, I think, you know what, I mean...
But no, I thought you agreed with that, too. I remember our conversations about that. I seem to remember you were in that camp as well. If you can't get it right the first time, you don't get a second. No? You feel differently?
I think you felt that way. I think for me it was kind of like, yeah. I mean, you got to hit him.
I mean, whatever it is, you got to hit him.
I don't know if it's one or two times. You just freaking hit him.
Andy Green, the manager of the San Diego Padres, afterwards, boy, he took a shot not at the Diamondbacks, but at the umpires for being clueless.
And umpires being literally clueless on the field right now. That's inexcusable at that point in time. You'd love to be able to make an excuse for him, but there's no excuse right there. The first one, okay, maybe slips. The second one, we know what's going on there. It's not lost on us at all. If it's lost on them, they're not paying attention to the baseball game.
Torey Lovello, in the meantime, went full 100% manager speak about it.
I don't know. I think there were just some misses, to be honest with you. I don't know exactly what's going on. So I haven't had a chance to look at the location or talk to anybody. But, look, you got three outs and ended the game. That's all I'm really concerned about. We won the baseball game.
I'm glad I wasn't in that interview room. I would have had to stifle laughter when he said that. I swear to God.
I just don't know. I mean,
I would have had to cover my mouth like, oh, my God, I'm going to
got away from him. I mean, yeah, two outs in the ninth inning, and we just I'd throw two pitches right behind a guy. I mean, obviously trying to now bad blood rivalry, great. Bring it on. I mean, this is awesome for baseball. I love it. It's great. Now San Diego does not come here again until September.
Right.
I mean, they don't, then rest of April, May, June, July, August. They're not here until September. So it's a long time before they come back here. Now the Diamondbacks do play them. 1 month they're out there
in May.
June, July,
They go there in May. So they're we'll see during that 3-game series what happens then.
Yeah, they're legit. Like they're a decent team. Like they're a decent baseball team. They're going to be a threat for the next few years. They've spent some money. They've got Hosmer. They've got Myers. They've got Machado, and they've got this Fernando Tatis Jr. who looks fantastic. Now their bullpen, I don't think is very good. Their bullpen looks shaky to me, especially the middle relief. They gave up a lot of runs to the D-backs, and their starting pitching is extremely young. And they can't get Zach Greinke out to save their lives. But overall, I think that's a team that's going to be reckoned with. The Giants don't seem like a threat to me anymore. The Dodgers, I think, will always be good. But, yeah, don't be surprised if the Padres win this division a couple times in the next 5 years.
Oh, no. I mean, with the talent that they've acquired, and I assume at some point they're going to acquire a veteran starting pitcher. I mean,
Dallas Keuchel's still out there
on the market. The Indians have talked about trading one of their guys, though I don't know if they will now. They've had some injuries to their rotation. Padres are good, and the Diamondbacks have never... Throughout their 20-plus years of existence, man, they had a little thing with the Giants back in the day when they were kind of, you know, the Bonds era, when they were kind of competing back and forth with San Francisco.
Yes.
Of course, the Dodgers, the Rockies, especially in the last couple of years with them competing for the wild card. They've had a thing with every team in this division but the Padres. The Padres have never really had a thing with any team in this division. They've been so bland and boring and blah the last decade or two that they haven't had much in the way of rival.
I know. And then when they went out and spent all that money on Machado, well, Hosmer last year, like, oh, okay, why'd they do that? And then they get Machado. And now you're starting to see the pieces come together. You're like, okay, well, Hosmer and Machado together with Myers and then, you know, with Fernando Tatis coming up. And some of these players, I mean, are good. Margot's good. I'm a leadoff homer off of Granky
yesterday. Margot's very good.
He's a good player. So you look at that roster, you're like, okay, they're good. If their pitching comes around, they're going to be a threat.
Yep. We have already given you four of the names that could be on the Cardinals' radar for the 33rd overall pick. And don't worry, we'll give them to you again. Next, we'll give you the last one on the list. And when it comes to the radar for the 33rd pick overall, this is a name you're going to want to hear. Next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Cooling on Kyler? Just how cool have people become on Kyler is the subject of today's Twitter poll question of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
As put together by Sarah Cazell. She's got today's Twitter poll question of the day and the update on the results so far. What do you have for us today?
Yes. So how confident are you that Kyler Murray will be the number one pick specifically to the Cardinals in this year's NFL draft? 37% say 0 to 25% confident. 32% say 26 to 50% confident. 18% say 51 to 75%. And then 13% say 76 to 100. So the biggest group is the least confident, and then it tapers down from there.
So the biggest group is 0 to 25%.
Yep. And it just goes from there. 26 to 50 is the next biggest group.
I'd put my level of confidence somewhere in the low 30s. I'm 32% confident, 33% confident that they'll take Kyler Murray. That's what I
level of confidence. Okay.
Here's my breakdown. I got it for you.
I'm not 50% confident.
Nope. Here's my breakdown.
I'm not 50%.
I just thought about this. I'm 40% confident it's Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
I'm 40% they're going to trade it. I'm 20 it's Nick Bosa. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
I'm 40% Kyler Murray, 40% trade, 20% it's going to be Nick Bosa. That's where I am right now in terms of my confidence level for each scenario.
I'll play this game with you. I'll play this game.
Play along with me, Gambo. Give me your pie chart.
I go 50% they trade the pick.
Okay.
Because that's literally, I mean, I'd probably be happiest with trading the pick and getting like a boatload of picks. I'll go 25% they take Bosa, 25% they take Murray.
Okay. 50.
So more confident that they trade the pick.
Okay.
And then equally confident that it's either going to be Bosa or Murray.
Okay. All right. That's legit.
I just don't know. And, I really don't know.
And part of this is in response to some belief around the country now that among those who cover the NFL that Kyler Murray to the Cardinals is not this sure thing. And we've been hearing rumblings about that for a week. Let's not pretend like this is something new. This has been kind of floating out there for the last week or so. People going, I don't know, man. I don't know if they're going to do it. I don't know if they're going to pull the trigger. I'm not so sure that's the play for the Cardinals. There's been some doubt slowly, steadily creeping in over the last week or so. And it seems like it really kind of came to a head, at least with some people earlier today. Now, that's the first round pick. This is an incredibly important draft for the organization, and it's not just because of what they're going to do with the number one spot. In fact, I read one guy, it was Mark Domenech, the former GM of the Bucks, who said, right now, I think the Cardinals know exactly what they're going to do at number one. They've probably moved on to what they're going to do at number two.
I agree. They know what they're going to do at number one. They know what direction they're going to go. Now, they may not know what the offers are for the pick if they want to trade it. But if they're going to keep the pick and make a pick, I believe that they know what they're going to
do. So if they've moved on to what they're going to do at number two, I want to make sure we're clear about this. We're not calling this the Gambo 5 yet.
No, but we're not guessing either, okay? This is not guesswork. You know we don't guess. So this is five players that if the Cardinals stick with their pick at 33, that will be under consideration to be chosen by the Arizona Cardinals. Now, things can change and stuff like that. We'll probably get closer to a Gambo 5. And a Gambo 5 is just, in each year over the last 2 years, we've done this in the first round and the second round. And we did have Josh Rosen as an honorable mention because we weren't sure if they were going to trade up for him or not. But we got Christian Kirk right. We got Budda Baker Wright and Hassan Reddick Wright. We had Hassan Reddick Wright. We had Budda Baker Wright. We had Christian Kirk Wright, and we had Josh Rosen. As a possibility,
you knew they liked Rosen. You just did not think they were going to trade up for
a quarterback. But we put him on the list as an honorable mention because we said if they do get a quarterback, it'll be this guy. So we're probably 3.5 out of 4.
Right? The four that you've mentioned, Garrett Bradbury, you've mentioned A.J. Brown.
Yeah, he's a center. A.J. Brown's a wide receiver.
Mentioned Chris Lindstrom, the offensive lineman out of Boston College.
You
mentioned Cody Ford, the offensive lineman out of Oklahoma.
Right.
The fifth player that is in the mix for the 33rd overall pick is...
Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Okay, I wasn't on this boat 3 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, give or take.
2 or 3 weeks ago, I was not on this boat. Okay, I wasn't. N'Keal Harry will be under consideration with the 33rd pick. He'll very likely be ranked as one of the top three wide receivers on their list.
You had my curiosity, but now you have my attention.
Very likely going Django. To be ranked as one of the top three wide receivers on their list. My doubt on him being taken by the Cardinals with their first pick in the second round was simply, I didn't know or believe that he would be in their top 31 guys, 33 players. I thought he'd fall somewhere below that threshold, you know, somewhere in the 35 to 45 range. But it does look like now, and they've got a workout coming up with him, right? I believe they do have a workout coming up with him. I do believe, yeah, because they are going to work him out.
Yeah, private workout on the
private
campus
workout
of ASU,
coming
if I
up,
right? Yeah, yeah.
But I do believe that he will be one of the top three wide receivers that they have rated, and that he's got a chance to be that pick at 33 right now.
He's visiting the 49ers today. He's got a visit with the Seahawks as well later in the week. It was reported last week that he was going to have a private workout with the Arizona Cardinals, and it was going to be his only workout, I believe. The others are visits. I don't know. But this was going to be a workout. And that Kingsbury and Keim and Michael were going to be their wide receivers coach. David Rye was going to be there as well. So it was going to be a well-attended private workout for N'Keal Harry. It's interesting to see you caused a lot of waves when you were not on the boat 3 weeks ago.
I mean, yeah.
A lot of people around here were like, wait, what do you mean they wouldn't? Like, I just think they're going to have players that they like better at number 33. They're going to have players that they have ranked higher at number 33. But it sounds like that N'Keal Harry is in a position where he could be the guy.
Yeah, I don't think that they will have him rated any lower than the third best wide receiver on their board. So that puts him in play right there. That puts him in play. I don't think there'll be five wide receivers, not even four wide receivers. He's either going to be number two or number three on their board from a wide receiver perspective. Now, again, I am saying that 3 weeks ago, I wasn't of the belief that he would be a top 33 player on their board, but a lot has happened since then, workouts, meetings, things like that. So I do think he has worked his way up the draft to where he could be, that he will be under consideration for the 33rd pick with the Cardinals.
Sarah,
so that's
looks
five
like
players right there.
So Sarah looks like she's chomping at the bit to jump in.
I had a joke that would have been funny about 90 seconds ago, right before you say N'Keal Harry, jump in and say, Manny Wilkins, oh my God. And Gamba's not even laughing now. Yeah, that's the ASU guy that
N'Keal Harry.
That went really well.
I don't get it.
Oh.
Like, ooh, over my head.
It's fine.
Why would I say Manny Wilkins?
Exactly.
That would have been.
Oh, you wanted me to say that Manny Wilkins is the guy that...
Well, she was joking that you were going to say Manny Wilkins.
Oh.
She wanted you to.
He's not even going to get drafted.
And that's why the joke is funny.
Oh. Oh, okay. All right.
Gamble.
So listen, I have no problem making myself look stupid on a regular basis. You want me to do it
Same.
On purpose?
No,
you want me to purposely.
She just wanted to
that.
Make a joke. Yeah,
I
she was,
yeah. It's. I'll go back to my corner now.
I started a joke.
Has the whole world laughing?
Apparently, the whole world is not laughing about that.
There's your five. So Nikhil. So I am coming. So I'm going to admit this. I'm coming around a little bit on Nikhil Harry. And again, based on information, didn't think that he'd be in that top 35 range. But now I think it's very obvious that he is going to be in that range, and that he could be a pick at 33.
The five are there's three offensive linemen and there's two wide receivers, which fits right into what we know. Of the boxes we kind of feel like they have to check at number 33. I'm gonna keep saying this because I really believe in this. Just looking at the recent history of the draft, man, that pick moves. That 33rd pick moves a lot. A player falls from the first round and a team wants to move up to the first pick of the second round to get him. I need to go back and do a little research on it, see how out of how many years recently has the 33rd overall pick been traded. I think we did
That's good research.
I think we did this a few weeks ago and we saw that it was like three of the last five or four of the last 6 years that the first pick overall of the second round has been traded. I think that pick gets moved a lot.
Well, a lot of times both ways, too, right? Sometimes you want to move up to get that extra fifth year, and sometimes you move back because the pick is so coveted, and teams have it the whole night to think about how bad they want to get a player with that first pick in the second round.
So on Wednesday, Gambo and I are going to be live from the YMCA in downtown Phoenix. I think this is the fourth or fifth year in a row we've done this. We'll be there Wednesday. It's your chance to win free swim lessons, D-backs, and Larry Fitzgerald softball tickets and more. Visit Fulton2Seconds.com for important water safety tips and second chance to win swim lessons from the YMCA as well. Obviously, with the weather warming up, pool season, pool safety, it's so vitally important here. Fulton Homes, the YMCA, want to make sure we're all teaming up to make sure our kids are very, very safe around water because, as they say, 2 seconds is too long, and that'll be part of the reason why we'll be there at the YMCA in downtown
Phoenix
on Wednesday.
Great event. We do it every year to make people aware.
The moment was positively electric. There's no denying that, but depending on your point of view, were you even happy to see it? The show is kind of split when it comes to Tiger Woods. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. Yeah! The return to glory.
It's hard to really feel bad about what I or how I played just because, you know, I just witnessed history.
It's great to see, obviously, Tiger doing well, but, you know, the way he was playing last year, I think we all knew it was coming sooner or later.
Not the end of it I wanted to be on, but to be able to witness that, you know, a handful of years ago, I don't know if a lot of people believed that Tiger would win another major. So from what I saw today, obviously, he's doesn't look like he's going anywhere anytime soon. And congrats to him on his 15th major.
Those are the voices of many of the guys that Tiger beat yesterday on his way to his fifth Masters green jacket and his 15th major overall. And, of course, Jim Nance, who probably practiced that moment every chance he got, right? Knowing that he might have a chance to say something like, here it is. Tiger's return to glory, right? I mean, he probably practiced that all night long in case it got to that moment.
Listen, he never quit. He never gave up. He kept working hard. The guy was a sideshow for many. I mean, he was a disaster. He was not making cuts at majors. I mean, he was 1,199th in the world. He had obviously physical injuries, and obviously mentally he wasn't right after, you know, everything that happened to him, of course, his own doing. But he was a sideshow. I mean, he really was. I mean, in many ways, it was a circus because of just how bad he was. He was terrible. I mean, he couldn't play for a long time. He just couldn't play. He was missing cuts at majors, and, you know, there was that U.S. Open just a couple of years ago. He was in 152nd place out of 156 golfers. This is Tiger Woods, you know, perhaps the greatest golfer in the world. And to watch him, like, you know, it's not like this. It was like with Tiger, wasn't this gradual decline. It was you're on top and then you're on the bottom. And the sky fell. And that's mm-hmm. what it was with Tiger. We talk about athletes all the time in the gradual decline because most of them, not all, but most, there is a gradual decline. They're great, and then they're good, and then they're okay, and then they stink. With Tiger, it was you're on top of the world. You're going to shatter Jack Nicklaus's record of 18 majors. You're unstoppable. And then just the sky fell. And he went, and then he couldn't make cuts, and he couldn't win majors. And it's been so long since he's won. So to have him do that, there were a lot of people that were rooting for him, cheering for him. You could hear the crowds in the galleries. They still love this guy. And it's great for golf. It's great for the sport, no doubt about it. Now, I may not have been rooting for him, but who cares? A lot of other people were, and they wanted to see him get lifted back up and get back on top. Because in the end, it's good for the sport. And he was a well-likable guy who made a couple of gigantic mistakes, but that was his own doing.
I mean, you like to say a lot that you don't root for teams, you root for people.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Always.
I don't always root for people, but sometimes I do root for stories.
Stories. I believe that.
And especially in a moment like this where it's a sport, and anybody who listens to the Burns and Gambo show, you know we're not the biggest golf fans. We don't spend a lot of time talking about it. We don't spend a lot of time breaking it down, even though we know a big chunk of our audience does like golf, does play golf, and certainly does watch a lot of golf. Sometimes I root for stories, and while I might not have been rooting for Tiger the person, there's no doubt, zero debate, that yesterday when I was watching that final round unfold, I was rooting for Tiger the story, because it is such an incredibly unique story. I heard Bickley and Murata talking today to try to find some sort of comp.
I don't think there is one.
You know, Mario Lemieux's name got thrown out there as a guy who was on top, had health issues, got back on top again. I thought of, you know who I thought of? You'll appreciate this, I think, because of your background. George Foreman. I thought of a guy like George Foreman, who was near the top of his sport for years.
But then went away. But, retired, went away.
But Tiger, in many ways, went away.
But he didn't.
He was still in the public eye, but he was ranked 1,199 in the world. He went away.
But he was still playing.
He was still playing, but he wasn't relevant. He didn't matter. He wasn't making cuts. He wasn't performing very well. He, in essence, was not even a part of the fabric of our conversation anymore. And then all of a sudden, just like that, he's back. So you're right. There's no perfect cut. It's funny.
It's a great question. I wouldn't be able to think of something in a short time here, but if I think about this, I would like to try to come up with a couple of comparisons, because I think it's really great. What is comparable to what Tiger Woods just did?
You know what?
Now again, it's not like George Foreman, who retired and went away for years, came back, won the heavyweight championship of the world when he knocked out Michael Moore. This is not, and I know George Foreman. I actually know him pretty well, but I don't think it's Foreman. But I do think you're on to something, that there might be a comparison where a guy was on top of the world and then just sucked for a decade, and now he's back on top.
I'm going to make a pop culture comparison. Do you mind?
Oh, okay. This might be a good one, too.
I'm going to make a pop culture comparison to Tiger Woods, okay?
Madonna?
Robert Downey Jr. The actor Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, this is a great one. This is a good one.
On top of the world, master of his craft.
Career crash.
Everybody knew he was going to be he had this charisma and this natural ability on screen. He got nominated for an Academy Award for playing Charlie Chapman. He was on top. And then drugs, alcohol, self-induced problems vanished. I mean, like Robert Downey Jr. for a few years, it was like, who? Oh, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. I remember him. Whatever happened to
now
him?
Now he's some superhero,
he
right?
He is the biggest movie star in the world right now.
Is he really?
Oh, my gosh, yes.
He's the biggest movie star in the world.
He is one of the biggest, most recognizable movie stars in the between.
Isn't he like Captain Adventure? Captain Avenger?
He's Iron Man and Sherlock Holmes, basically.
Iron Man.
And he hasn't even done a lot of Sherlock Holmes, but he is, if you look at the amount of money his movies make, just on Iron Man
he's
alone.
He's a great actor. Great comparison. It's great. Yeah. Listen, fantastic. And I'm sure there's a music comparison too, right? Like
Britney Spears.
Somebody who was
Spears
great
yesterday.
And then went away for 10 years and then then came back with a hit song.
Yeah.
Right. There's got to be a group or a solo artist. What did Britney Spears come back with?
She has a residency in Vegas, and I don't remember the name of the song, but it was a pretty big hit in like 2008,
but
2010.
Doesn't that show like sell out all the time in Vegas, like the Britney Spears show in Vegas? It's like it's a huge deal there, right?
Yeah.
If you go there.
And she, remember like the shaved head and like when she beat in the windshield with an umbrella, like she absolutely lost her mind. And now has come back to be another successful, not, I don't think quite as successful as Robert Downey Jr. I think your example is still better,
but to a
lesser degree.
So movies, music, sports, just great comebacks.
Yeah.
But Tiger, like, Man, he sucked.
Yeah.
Like, he was a sideshow.
Robert Downey Jr. sucked.
He couldn't make the cut in a lot of these events, Tiger.
I mean, he was his career was over. His career. Now, the question with Tiger is, when you look at what Jack Nicklaus did, when he won that Masters in 86, right? That was it.
That was it.
That was his.
He was 40. He was 3 years older than Tiger
right,
is now.
He was 46. Tiger's 43. Is this it for Tiger? Or is he back?
I don't know.
I don't know either, because when Jack did it, it was just a one little, hey, remember me? I'm Jack Nicklaus. I used to win majors. I used to be the best golfer on the planet. I'm going to come back. I'm going to win this Masters. Everyone's going to love it. It's going to be amazing. And that was it. That was it in terms of those magical moments. Does this mean that Tiger is all the way back, or is he just renting right now?
Less Than Zero is the movie I was thinking about with Robert Downey Jr.
Sure, he basically played himself in that movie. Robert, if I remember right.
Yeah, Less Than Zero.
If you look at his filmography, he basically vanished for a couple of years. Man,
so he was popular 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. And then started to do just a little bit. I was active all the years. I guess he's like Tiger. I guess he could be like Tiger.
Yeah, he was active, but he...
They've got movies scheduled for two... He's in three movies that haven't even come out yet right now.
According to a Forbes article from last year, he was the third highest grossing actor, $81 million. Only The Rock and George Clooney made higher.
You're going to love this. There's four movies listed on his IMDb that aren't even out. Avengers Endgame, The Voyage of Dr. Doolittle is 2020, All-Star Weekend, Sherlock Holmes 3,
oh, there you go. Okay.
An untitled John Brinkley biopic.
Biopic, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, there's four movies that aren't even out.
I've never known how to say that word. So.
Just the okay. fact that
Sounds
you're...
Like biopic.
Just the fact that you're on IMDb, it warms my heart.
Oh, thank you.
It really does. It'd be like me watching a boxing match on a Saturday night, right? I mean, wouldn't that make you feel good?
Oh.
Screaming communists of strangers.
I use IMDb? I'm going to tell you why I use IMDb.
Tell me why.
Because a lot of times I'll watch a TV show with my wife, and it'll be an actor or an actress in there. I'm like, oh, my God, I know that face. I know that person. Where do I know that? Oh, I'll rack my brain, and I'll find, I have to stop the show. And be like, okay, Chelsea, find this person's name in this show. And then I have to look it up. Oh, he was in that back in the 90s. I literally do that all the time now because I can't remember things.
Yeah.
So I always...
IMDb's great for that. Yeah.
Every TV show, there's like, I know that guy. And I can't remember where I know him from.
Yeah. The confidence that the Cardinals will draft Kyler Murray might be waning for some. But if they do take Kyler Murray... What are the latest rumors surrounding Josh Rosen's trade value?
Roro.
Well, that's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.